This is day 48 of our daily Bible reading. Today we are going into the book of Joshua, chapters 1 through 4, and Psalm 48. Lord God, thank you for a new day of life. And as we enter into your word, Lord, please show us that we need to be strong and courageous. You have not given us a spirit of timidity, but of one that is like you, strong, courageous, righteous. And Lord, that is your expectation for us, because if we truly rely on you, then we know that there are no obstacles ahead of us that you are not able to conquer. You will not give us a fruitless life. You have good works planned for us, and you have given us all a purpose. Lord, may we depend upon your Spirit in the days to come. The forces of evil mount against us every day. The unrighteous, the people who hate us, the people who are complacent as Christians. And Lord, you've called us to be better than that. You've called us to be like you. And help us, Lord, to remember that your portion of the Holy Spirit that is within us gives us that power and gives us that confidence and that courage to do what is right and to speak your name boldly. May we remember that every day as we meditate upon your word and as we enter into the book of Joshua. Thank you for this time. Please bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest, and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do, Now, wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only, may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot, whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." It came about, when it was time to shut the gate at dark, that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters, with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about, when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country, and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about, when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground, until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the Ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? That you shall say to them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. For the priests who carry the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000, equipped for war, crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him, just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. It came about when the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place, and went over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month, and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. These 12 stones, which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? That you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Psalm 48, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. God, in her palaces, has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves, they passed by together. They saw it, then they were amazed. They were terrified, they fled in alarm. Panic seized them there. Anguish, as of a woman in childbirth. With the east wind, you break the ships of Tarshish. As we had heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. Selah. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. Okay, we are now in the book of Joshua. So now everything that has been anticipated since the book of Exodus is now finally happening. We had to go through 4 books of the Bible in preparation for this moment. And now we are finally here, where we see God lead the people into the promised land and give them what he promised. It's a glorious thing. We know that God is faithful. But now we have a new leader over Israel, and that is Joshua, one of the only 2 remaining men that were part of the original Exodus. Everyone else were children or not even born at the time of the Exodus. And as we may recall, Joshua is one of the 12 spies that originally went into the land after the first year of the Exodus. And he brought back a good report along with Caleb, who is the other old man of Israel right now. And together, they defended the Lord's integrity and were faithful to him. But no one else was. And so they stuck to their guns regardless, which is something to be greatly admired. And God rewarded them by giving them a longer life and Joshua being used for such a great purpose. A little bit of background as to the book of Joshua itself, before we go any further, is that this book is going to describe the conquest of the Holy Land. And then we're going to see it divided according to what Jacob had predicted, as well as what Moses had predicted. It's going to happen exactly as it was promised. It will be accomplished exactly as described, which is amazing because that is true prophecy, as we have seen. God's predictions are very accurate and very detailed. And that's what distinguishes God between fortune tellers and horoscopes and all that, because he gives very detailed, specific predictions, while the other ones are more generalized or false. Now, again, the reason why they're going into the land and wiping everyone out is because of the evil that is going on in that land. Prostitution is high over there. Infant sacrifice is a regular thing. They have all these religious evils that they commit. Several gods that they worship, many of them of a very sexual nature that are disgusting to look at. Great many evils. And God is upset with that, and he is going to completely destroy them for their evil. He does not tolerate sin like this. So not only has he been preparing Israel for this march into the land, but he has also been spiritually preparing them by giving them his law and showing them what is acceptable and what is not. If they have a true heart for God, they're going to find these detestable things worthy of being destroyed. They should have a zeal for God, just like he has a zeal for his people and for righteousness. So if you look at the book of Joshua from the big picture, a zoomed out, bird's eye view of Joshua, this is going to show you a historical account of how they were able to conquer the Holy Land. And most of it was because of what God did. God was the one that caused them to win and be successful. Unfortunately, we are going to see the people of Israel not follow God's instructions perfectly, and it's going to haunt them for the rest of human history. They are going to compromise with some of the people, even though God told them not to. They are going to make alliances when God told them not to. They are not going to wipe out peoples completely like God told them to. So they are going to reap consequences from not obeying God perfectly. Now, something that is interesting to note is what Joshua's name means. His name means Yahweh is our salvation. Now, this Jewish name, Yeshua, is also used in the New Testament. Joshua, in Greek, is Jesus. So they have basically the same name. The Lord is our salvation. And rightly so, not only in this regards, because Joshua is the one leading the people into the land, and he is their salvation in a very physical sense. But Jesus is the greater Joshua. He is the Lord himself, and only through Jesus do we have spiritual, eternal salvation. And so you see a foreshadowing of Christ in the very person of Joshua here. Now, historically, this book is a little difficult to date, but the best guess that we have is that this is written between 1400 and 1370 BC. And as we begin the book of Joshua, we see that God is almost giving Joshua a bit of a pep talk. We get the idea by the many times that he and even the people that are under his care are telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. It is repeated many times. So it really gives the idea that Joshua is afraid. He's uncomfortable. Maybe he feels inadequate for the role. I mean, he's coming out of the shadow of Moses, the great man of God. And he's probably thinking to himself, I'm never going to match that. There's no way I can be as good as Moses. And so we see that there's some inadequacies he's feeling. And that's okay. I mean, we all feel those at times, especially when we're thrust into some kind of responsibility. But I love the words of the Lord to Joshua here. He commands Joshua to go into the land, but he's not going by himself. What does he say? He says that he will be with him, just like he was with Moses. He will not fail him, nor will he forsake him. And then we have probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law, the first five books of the Bible that we had just finished reading, this book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. It doesn't depart from our mouth, meaning that we don't stop talking about the things of God. We don't stop teaching the things of God. We don't stop sharing with the unbelievers the things of God. The Word of God should be close to us. It should be synonymous with our life, because we were called into this life by Christ. Therefore, what else is there to speak except the Word of God, right? But in addition to the outward expression of the Word of God, he's also telling us to meditate on it day and night, which is an internal process. We should be consistent from what we say outwardly to what we're feeling inwardly, right? We don't want to be hypocrites by saying, you need to worship God, you need to repent, and yet inside, we are not people of repentance, nor are we people of forgiveness and grace and mercy and truth. All those qualities that are required of us. That is the worst, to be one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God and being a total double standard. That is why we need to meditate on the Word of God, so that it will keep us pure. It will keep us holy, because we are occupying our time and our minds with the things of God, instead of the things that truly don't matter. He goes on to explain why he wants us to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. He wants us to fulfill what God has commanded us to do. And if we do, there are benefits to it. It says that you will make your way prosperous, meaning that you will put yourself down a path to success. That doesn't mean the success will come yet, but you are going down the right road and you are acting in obedience to God. And then the final result will be that you will have success. This is not saying that the road to prosperity is going to be easy. It will have plenty of bumps, it'll have plenty of hills and valleys, and there will be times where it will be downright challenging. But ultimately, if we believe God is able to take us to the end, then we will have success. Have I not commanded you? He's commanding him to be strong and courageous. Do not be trembled or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What beautiful confirmation here of God's protection and his faithfulness to us. Praise God. So in the second half of the chapter, we see that Joshua becomes strong and courageous and starts giving orders. It's time, y'all. It's time to cross this river and take what belongs to us. So he talks to the 2.5 tribes that already have their land and reminds them, hey, you promised Moses that you were going to come with us, so I expect you to come. And they're like, we got you. We're going. We're ready to go. Everything that Moses commanded us, we're going to do it. We're going to hold true to our word. We will obey you just like we did Moses. Just be strong and courageous. And that's kind of strange coming from them. But what's nice is that they fully endorsed God's authority behind Joshua, which is good. Then we come to chapter 2, where two spies entered the land and were checking it out. And this is when they go to Jericho, which was a completely walled city, and they went to the house of a harlot, a prostitute, someone you wouldn't expect the Jewish people to go to. But they did. And her name was Rahab. Now, she lied and told the king of Jericho that they had already taken off and that they can catch them, even though she was hiding them. Let us be clear that God does not condone lying. But what we can say about her is that she has remarkable faith in God, and she's not even Jewish. She is one of these peoples that they're supposed to conquer. They have been hearing about all the things that Israel has been doing over the last 40 years. They heard about the Red Sea being parted so they can cross it. They heard about the plagues in Egypt. They heard about how the Israelites defeated some of the Amorite kings. They heard that there was a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by the day, and that bread would rain from the sky. And you know what the result of that was? They freaked out. And in her words, it says that the people melted. They are terrified about what's coming. They know that there is going to be destruction upon them, and they are freaking out. You can tell that she is scared about it too, because she is among those people. But she feels that if she is able to do these guys a favor in God's name, that she can be protected. And so they swear an oath to her. I will help you if you help me, basically. And so if I protect you and I get you out of here, please remember me when you come to Jericho to conquer it, that you would keep my family alive. And the men make an oath to her, saying, we will not allow you to be harmed, and may God be the one to protect you as well. Now, she is going to be mentioned in the New Testament as being one of the great heroes of faith. She is not a Jew. She is not an Israelite. And yet she has great faith that God is the Lord of the world, that he is the only God. She believes. She is a Gentile who believes in the true living God. Even in the book of Joshua, this was understood, that God was not exclusive just to the Jewish people. It was right there in plain sight. And yet, the Jewish people missed that. But because of her great faith in God and her willingness to help, God kept his word, and he was able to protect her, as we'll see here soon. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, even though we're not done seeing Rahab yet, but she is going to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. One of those two spies is going to end up marrying Rahab, and she is going to be the ancestor of Boaz, who is going to come into the picture in the book of Ruth. But anyway, she's able to keep the men hidden and safe until the search party returns, and then the men hide themselves in the woods until they come back, and then they go back and report to Joshua what happened. And Joshua is excited. He says, surely the Lord has given us all this land. He's ready to go. He has complete confidence in what God is doing. So then in chapters 3 and 4, we see that they are preparing to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River today is not very impressive. It is not a huge river, and it's not that exciting to look at. In fact, some parts of it more look like a stream than an actual river. But it may have been much bigger back then, I don't know. But regardless, they do something very similar to what they did at the Red Sea. The priests, holding the Ark of the Covenant, go into the middle of the water, and they cause the water to part. And it just stands there until the whole congregation goes over the river. Then at the end, the priests holding the Ark of the Covenant step out of the water, and as soon as they step out, then the water returns to normal. But while they are crossing over, Joshua has 12 men grab a large stone and set it up as a memorial. And we need to set up these memorials in our life as well. In Joshua's day, these were physical reminders for the current and future generations. Your children, your grandchildren, if you take them there, will ask, why are these stones here? What do they mean? And then you're able to tell them exactly what they mean. God did this wondrous thing for us, and he allowed us to cross the Jordan River on dry land because he was faithful to us, and he promised us this land, and we conquered it. We need to set up these memorials in our life as well. We may not have physical reminders for ourselves, but we need to remember the times that God acted in our lives. Those times that we recognized God working. We need to remember those, because we are stubborn human beings, and we are often prone to forgetting. So we don't want to forget what God has done for us and be ungrateful. But secondly, we have future generations to tell of God's goodness. We need to show them the ways that God has worked in our lives and has acted on our behalf. Those are wondrous stories that will increase faith in God. Not only in them, but in us, right? When we think back in hindsight to all the things God was doing in our lives. Do you have any monuments built up in your life? There are probably many if you look very carefully. And by doing that, we will be able to honor the Lord and teach the next generation about him. Now, what I find remarkable about this psalm that we read, Psalm 48, which is another psalm of the sons of Korah, is that this is a song of Zion. Now, Zion is the city of David. Not Jerusalem itself, but the inner part of Jerusalem that was established by King David. That is what we call Zion in the Bible, physically. Zion is sometimes also used spiritually for the kingdom of God that is going to come at the millennial reign. But what I found interesting here is that it talks about Zion being God's dwelling place, the place where he established his name. And that is the place where the Jewish people are supposed to go and worship. It also describes in verses 4 through 8 how God will defeat enemies that are against us. And more specifically, it talks about how the city was conquered by King David himself. God has remained faithful to us. And we've seen all these different psalms about being delivered from enemies. And here we see him actually delivering them from enemies. And so God is faithful to us. And the rest of the psalm is an offering of praise. And most importantly, it says at the very end here in verse 13, consider her ramparts, go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us until death. We must teach the next generation who God is. His credentials are all documented for us in the Bible. And when you look at the creation around us, you can't help but notice the wondrous works of God. It is listed for us because God is worthy to be trusted. He has demonstrated his worth to us. This is your proof that he is who he says he is, and that he is real, and that he wants you to be saved. That is why all this is here. It's for us to recognize and discover who God is. Our scripture to memorize today is going to be Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It's a bit of a longer verse, but I memorized it several years ago, and this is a very powerful verse that we must keep in mind. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And with that, that's all I have for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Ryan, and we'll see you next time. Take care, and God bless you.